This is the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, part of the VSporto Network, bringing you all Noles all the time.
At Florida State, we won national championships and ACC championships.
Back to some basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys getting rolled banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success, so you know something, I can really do this.
And this is the Unconquered Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Staples. We're doing a quick instant reactions podcast after the 14-0 Florida State win over Boston College. We'll do the first segment on the offense, second segment on the Florida State defense, and a quick wrap-up. But this was basically a welcome back to the 1980s college football game. Quite frankly, if you were watching this game and you were hoping for anything exciting, anything at all to happen, you probably fell asleep. But a game that more or less looked like what, if you've been listening to this podcast, we told you it would look like. This was two teams, two offenses that struggled to get untracked. Florida State actually started better than I expected. They started with a nice, I think if I remember right, it was an 83-yard drive to begin the game. And all of a sudden it looked like, wow, you know, this was not what you would have expected the Florida State offense to look like in this game, you know, marching right down the field against a quality Boston College defense. And then all of a sudden, right there, you know, they had a chance in that second drive to potentially, you know, it looked like that game could get out of control if they went on the, if they went down the field on that second drive. But then they had a mistake up front. They had a couple other things that caused them to go backwards. And then the rest of the game, the offense basically, Florida State offense spent in neutral, and the Boston College offense never looked like they actually had a pulse. We talked about that in the pregame that we expected that basically everybody should expect Florida State to struggle against what I think is a top 15 or so defense in the country in Boston College. You know, they'll give up some points later in the year against some better offenses, especially now that teams are going to have some legitimate film on this defense. But that is a defense that is built to stop what Florida State can do. You know, they're not very good. Florida State right now is not very good at anything except for running the football. And even at that, there are a couple things that they could get better at, as we saw tonight. And that Boston College defense last year was sixth in the country against FBS competition in yards per carry allowed. And they got all the key players back from that defense, from that run defense from last year, and they looked like it. I mean, that is a very good, very solid run defense that Steve Addazio and that staff put out there. And they did a great job stacking the box with eight guys. When Florida State would spread it, they kept the numbers advantage as much as they could in the box, and FSU was not able to run the football really on them during this game. And we thought in the pregame, we thought as we previewed this that there would be some pretty significant that this would be a significant challenge for Florida State in the running game, and it was. And I feel like I think we know sort of where Florida State's limitations are at this point as an offense in the running game and so on. This was a big litmus test game. And I think at the end of the day, the takeaway here is this team, they are who we thought they were. And not much more to say than that. Golson actually started well in this game. When they were in the script, when they were in the opening script, Golson looked comfortable. He looked like you would expect a guy with a little experience to look. But as soon as they got out of that opening script, as soon as they got out of the plays that they had repped, obviously, and were ready they had gone over clearly on this is what we're going to do here, here's what we expect them to be in, and so on. Once they got out of that opening script, the stuff that they knew that they were going to run to open the game, Golson reverted back to what we've seen in the first couple games, particularly in the USF and Boston College games. Wasn't as bad as we saw in the USF game, but certainly not looking like a fifth-year senior who has led a team to a national title game in the past. Still really just miles away from comfort in this offense. He did throw pretty well in the short zones at times, but he's having real problems with vision and footwork in the passing game. And after the game, there was no doubt. I mean, you could see how frustrated, I would say even disgusted, Jimbo Fisher was with Golson's play in certain areas in this game. There's a lot to clean up, and Fisher knows that, and they know that if some of this stuff doesn't get corrected, they're going to lose some games because of the quarterback play and because of the way that affects the rest of the offense. So in particular, there were some things that Golson did, that some things that Golson missed that really impacted the efficiency of the offense in ways that wouldn't necessarily be as visible to someone who to the normal fan, the person who doesn't quite understand how Fisher's offense works. There were some things that some calls, particularly play calls, that looked puzzling in this game, and some of it had to do with some of the checks and some of the decisions that Golson made, particularly in the read option game. Florida State called a number of read option calls in this game, where Golson basically has the responsibility of reading that backside end, and if that backside end isn't honoring the quarterback run, then Golson's supposed to pull it and take off. And there were a number of places, number of times in this game where they were reading that backside, and Golson not only didn't read the backside well, didn't look like he was looking at the backside, didn't even look like he was trying to read it. And I asked Jimbo Fisher specifically about this after the game, of whether or not those were read calls, and he confirmed that they were supposed to be reads, and that Golson was supposed to pull it on some of those plays. I mean, the most obvious example of this was Dalvin Cook's last carry that went for a loss on Florida State's second to last possession, where for all intents and purposes it looked like Jimbo Fisher called three run plays that just went straight up the middle and off tackle, and Boston College just stuffed them. And it looked like, you know, why would you just call those very predictable run plays and not try to get the ball on the edge or do something? And as it turned out, you know, when I saw the last one in particular, it's like, you know, they're leaving that backside end, who's the one that made the tackle for a loss in the backfield, they're leaving him unblocked and pulling that tackle around. This looks like it's a replay. He's got to keep that. You know, I'm pretty sure they're reading it. But Golson, when I looked at the replay, his eyes were not on the defensive end at all. He was give all the way. So I had to ask about it, and Fisher said, no, that was a read, and he's got to keep it. Well, at that point, that's a situation where the play call actually isn't bad. You've got a play where they're not honoring the backside run. Quarterback keeps that. He's probably running for, you know, Everett Golson might still be running while we record this podcast. He could be running through the streets of Boston being chased by the entire Boston College team, just racking up points. I know this is not the way the game works, but I mean, he could still be running. And instead, basically he did what EJ Manuel back in 2012 became especially well known for among those of us who were critiquing the offensive play at that time, where you've got a read call on, and he would never keep the ball when it was the time to keep, and that dramatically impacts your ability to be able to run the football the way that you want. That impacts the numbers at the line of scrimmage. It impacts whether or not you can actually. It impacts what schemes you can run, and you know, Golson absolutely has to keep the football on those looks. Otherwise, this offense, you're not going to see Dalvin Cook run like he did against South Florida against quality defenses. But if Golson can occupy that backside defender and give the offensive line numbers to block on the front side, then you are going to see him bust some runs. And there are a few that he got close to busting tonight. There was one where he stepped out of bounds that would have been a big play. But you're not going to see that if they're able to get that extra guy on the backside crashing into the backfield for the handoff each time. And, you know, Golson absolutely has to keep the football on some of those reads. Otherwise, you know, this offense is going to be hamstrung. It's going to be limited, and it's not even going to be able to run the football. I thought the offensive line was up and down in run blocking. I thought they did okay. And again, this is a good Boston College defense that flowed well to the football. They had good quality linebackers and good pursuit angles. They do what you're supposed to do to stop the run. They fit their run gaps well. It's a quality run defense. It's what you expected. But you're not going to have success if the quarterback's not doing his job on the rollouts, on keeping that backside play action. You know, his ball handling's not been very good, and he's not making those plays on the reads. And he missed some opportunities on some rollouts as well, where he had some chances to make plays down the field, either by keeping the football or make plays by throwing a little bit earlier to some outlet guys, and those things need to be cleaned up. That's the place where it's most obvious that this offense can improve. I didn't think that this was Jimbo Fisher's best called game ever. As I look at the tape a little bit more, I'll have a little bit more to say about that. But I did think that there were some times where early on I felt like he should have kept with the run game a little bit more. I would have liked to see a little bit more jet sweep action. They had some success with that with Kermit Whitfield. I thought they could challenge the edges of this Boston College defense a little bit more than they did. Instead of trying to run some zone read stuff and just challenge with Everett Golson on the edge, I thought that there were some times where they could run. There's a variation of power that they could run to try to get the edge, where you bring a guy in and you instead of just kicking out the end, you actually you hook the end or you push the end back inside, because most teams try to squeeze that power. But with a guy like Pender or with Cook in the backfield, you can try to hit that edge. As they squeeze it, you go ahead and let them squeeze it and let your guy bounce. And I thought there were some things they could do like that in the run game today. I thought they could use a little bit of veer action like they had shown against USF. But again, if Golson's not going to keep it on the veer stuff, then you can't run that. But at any rate, I thought they could have done some of those things with a little bit more threatening of the edge in the running game, and maybe a little bit more in terms of throwing to the backside of the backfield at different points in this game that they could have done to maybe get a little bit more effectiveness given the limitations that Golson was showing. But I do think that there were some places where Fisher made some excellent calls, and the offense just simply didn't execute, and so it was a little bit of a mixture tonight. Golson missed another one. There was a sure touchdown on a wheel route to Pender downfield, where he had the linebacker beat as soon as he turned upfield on the wheel, and Golson, reading the middle of the field, has to know that wheel's going to be open. He's got to look at it, give it a peek right away, make the throw on the sideline, and Pender walks in. And instead, he tries to challenge downfield on a post route to Bobo Wilson. And Bobo really never got separation, and it was not the right decision. He needs to take a peek at that wheel. That's really what you're going for in that coverage look, and that's stuff that they can get better at. Those are really good calls to get those shot plays. They had some other calls to backs, not on flare passes, but backs coming out of the backfield on some flat routes and things that could have been better thrown. Dalvin Cook did drop one of the ones that was one of the better throws, and that could have turned into a big play. And that takes us into the other thing on the offensive side, that basically, the wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs also didn't help Golson in certain cases where, you've got a quarterback that is not doing everything exactly the way that he should, and they didn't give him all the help that he should have had. There were a couple drops. You had one drop from Izzo. You had a drop from Rudolph. You had a drop from Cook. You had a couple missed routes. You had some things that were just not clean around Golson to keep him comfortable and to keep him doing exactly what he needed to do. And the same thing too on the offensive line. The offensive line needs to pass protect better. And in the running game, they need to be more physical. I talked to Fisher after the game and asked him about whether or not some of the problems that they had in protection were due to poor calls at the line or what was going on there. And he said, no, actually, in that case, it was just us getting beat. It's just guys getting physically beat and getting whipped, and that they cannot have. The one thing, this is a young offensive line. And Corey Martinez is a guy that's going to get beat physically once in a while. He's not totally developed. But, you know, the rest of this offensive line, they're not guys that should be getting whipped. I mean, the Hakeem R got put on his butt on one power run where he was getting ready to pull, and you know he got drilled by a blitzing linebacker and got pushed right, you know, basically spilled right into the running back, and you just can't let that stuff happen if you're going to be a physical running team, and this team's got a long way to go in that regard. But you know, again, in the running game, Golson made the offensive line look worse than they actually were in certain cases, because he didn't block the guys that he's supposed to in terms of, you know, with play action and with read plays and things like that on the backside. He's responsible to block those guys with the read and that sort of thing, and he didn't do it. Now, he did have one great block on that first drive where, you know, he de-cleated a guy, but and you know, he'll get a helmet sticker for that, but overall, you know, the offense did its job. I mean, this is sort of reminiscent of the 2012 Florida game in Gainesville, where that team, you know, they scored early and then they basically shut it down. The offense didn't really need to do a whole lot in this game because basically Boston College could have played 8 quarters in this game, and I'm not sure they'd have scored a touchdown. And that should take us then into segment 2, where we're going to talk about the defense. And once again, this is the Unconquered Podcast. This is your host, Jason Staples. And now we're going to go ahead and talk about the defense here. The defense, I think, again, this is instant reactions. So, you know, we're going to look at the tape a little bit more, look at the video here later in the week. But I thought the defense, if anything, played better than I expected. I thought schematically they did basically what I expected. They played very vanilla stuff. They challenged Boston College to be able to run on them, and basically said, you need to run on us on the inside to be able to beat us. They challenged the wide receivers to beat single coverage, and they could not do that. And they emphasized making sure that no one got out of gaps. It was very simple. Don't do too much in terms of stunting or anything like that. Just play sound gap control defense and make sure you don't get out gapped or, you know, flanked or anything against the against some of the exotic, unbalanced and other kinds of looks that you're going to get from a Steve Adazio Boston College team. They did a great job with that. You know, I thought Terrence Smith did a tremendous job with the defensive front, making sure that they were adjusting to some of the motion and some of the funky formations that Boston College broke out. And you know, they did a great job staying home, both on the defensive front and in the secondary. There were a couple points where, when the game was still in doubt, you could see Adazio wanted to. They had a few shot plays. They had a few misdirection type things, some trick plays set to take advantage of some over pursuit and things like that. That the defense might be that in the past, Florida State defenses have fallen victim to. I mean, even last week against South Florida, and this defense this week hadn't. You know, they had none of it. They not only stayed home, but they blew those plays up, and you know, that I think at that point that deflated, particularly at the beginning of the fourth quarter. They had a couple shot plays that they had called, and FSU broke up a couple, you know, blew them up a couple in a row, and it was pretty clear at that point that deflated the Boston College offense a little bit, and then very shortly after that, Florida State went up 14-7 or 14-0 with a scoop and score. Again, an excellent defensive play by Terrence Smith to force the fumble, and then Jalen Ramsey, of course, with the scoop and score. So, you know, at that point, the game was over because Boston College was not going to score two scores against it. It was not going to score two touchdowns against that defense. You know, this is not a good Boston College offense. We didn't think it was going into the game. I didn't think that they would be able to run the ball against Florida State. I didn't expect them to get physically dominated the way that they did by the Florida State defense. I thought the FSU defensive tackles, you know, I'd been hearing some concerns all through camp. I'd been hearing other, you know, basically a number of concerns from people who are watching practices and so on in camp about whether or not this defense would be able to stop the run during this year. There were some concerns against Texas State about the play of the defensive tackles. I thought they cleaned that up pretty well against South Florida. And the defensive tackles dominated this game. Florida State's defensive tackles absolutely dominated this game. In particular, Niall Lawrence-Stample, Derek Nnadi, and DeMarcus Christmas. Those guys, all three of those guys, played like they should, played like FSU-level defensive tackles. I thought Derek Mitchell, there were a few plays that Boston College did have on the defensive interior. Each time was basically when, I'd have to go back and look at the tape, but I think pretty close to each time was with Derek Mitchell on the field, and there were some times where I actually thought he got trapped or he got too deep in the backfield with a couple things and lost his gap as a result. Maybe got a little over-aggressive. But I thought the defensive tackles controlled the game on the interior, and that was really it, because Boston College couldn't challenge them in that regard. The defense was free to basically run to the football elsewhere, and the linebackers were clean all game, and Smith and Roderick Hoskins were excellent getting off of blocks when guys did get to them and pursuing to the edge. Another guy that I thought really passed a test tonight was Josh Sweat. A true freshman. You could see there was one point, I think really in the second quarter, where Boston College decided that they were going to test him. And they went with some heavy sets. They went with an extra offensive lineman, an extra offensive tackle at the tight end position outside of Sweat, and double teamed him to see if they could collapse that gap a little bit. And he held up. He more than held up in one case where it ended up blowing that play up in the backfield. They wanted to test whether or not that freshman. I mean, Sweat's not that big yet, and he didn't have a full off season of working those legs because of coming back from the knee injury. But the kid does have a lot more power than you would think, and he did a great job when they challenged him physically on that edge to try to get an edge. And he used his length and used some leverage and was able to keep from getting pushed back. And that was a really good sign for the future from that spot. I think Sweat played very well against a team that was determined to test him on the edge in the running game. So that actually, I think more than anything is going to help opposing teams know that they probably can't just focus on doing that sort of thing, which gives him a little bit more breathing room probably for the rest of the year in that regard. One other thing that I was really interested in seeing tonight was how the secondary actually looked. One of the problems with games that breaking down games on television especially those that are recorded in Tallahassee is the tight angles that ESPN tends to shoot college football with, and you can't always see the secondary. You can't see whether there are actually guys open. And I thought the secondary tonight, I was very interested in seeing how they looked. I thought the secondary looked very good from the box. There are spaces here and there. There are a few spots in particular. If you've got a quarterback like a Deshaun Watson who throws really well in the seams over the middle, there were a few places where I thought there were some seams here and there. But against quality quarterbacks, those guys are going to be able to make some of those throws against anybody, and there weren't big seams at any point. Obviously, Jalen Ramsey is a star. He's a tremendous player. But I think across the board, the secondary's gotten a lot better. And to be honest, I never thought LaMarcus Brutus would become the player he is. He had a nice interception down the sideline where he did a great job in center field, read the quarterback's eyes, and got over. Ramsey was in position to make the pass breakup. But Brutus then came over the top and made the play. And that's a play that no Florida State safety made last year. Nobody was getting to those sideline routes from the center field position and showing that kind of range and the ability to get to those plays. But Brutus is doing a tremendous job reading routes. There were a couple places where he was able to read some underneath routes and make some plays. Some good sure tackles in some cases, and also take away some plays before they were even thrown by reading the routes and getting over the top. Brutus right now is really showing his value to that secondary because of what he can do at center field, and that improvement at that safety spot is a big difference between this year's secondary and last year's secondary. Now, in all honesty, this secondary has still not played a competent passing offense, and they won't until the Miami game. Wake Forest in 2 weeks is still not a good passing offense, but this still is a quality secondary. You can see in terms of how much space they have and how they're reading routes and concepts and so on, and whether they are where they're supposed to be, whether or not they're doing those things, and they're doing as much as you can grade them on, which is good. And they took away a lot of things that Boston College was trying to do downfield, and that's a good sign, I think, for when they do play some teams that can threaten through the air. And again, Miami is going to be the first of those that can really threaten you through the air. Then after Miami, Louisville still probably by that point is still not going to be all that threatening through the air. And then, basically until the Clemson game, you're not as worried about that. But I think this is a quality secondary. I think all in all, this is turning out to be a quality defense. To me, you build defenses with good defensive tackles and good cornerbacks, and I think this defense is starting to show that they've got both. And that's something that I think last year's defense really, really was not what they needed to be on the defensive tackle front. I think they had pretty good corners, although neither Darby nor PJ Williams played hard all the time, and there were some other issues in that regard. But last year's defense was weak at all three levels up the middle. At the defensive tackle spot, they had serious problems at linebacker, particularly once Terrence Smith got hurt, and then they had serious problems at safety all year. And this year's defense is better at all three levels up the middle. And they still are good on the corners. So I think this is going to be a top 10 or top 15 defense this season. The stats may wind up even better than that because they're not facing a great slate of offenses. Last year's defense played a better group of offenses overall than this year's defense will. But I think this is a defense that's going to continue to get better as this season goes along. And one last thing before I go, before we wrap this show, that I should mention is that this was the first time we were told this. Florida State's SID's Elliot Feinblum mentioned at the end of the game that this is the first time in Florida State school history that FSU has ever gone three games in a row without an offensive turnover. Now, at this point, you've got to wonder whether that's just Jimbo Fisher trolling Kelly at Notre Dame, just to show that, hey, look, I can actually run an offense with Everett Golson and not have turnovers all the time. But that's not what you would expect with Dalvin Cook and Everett Golson being the chief guys handling the football. Both guys have had their share of turnovers in the past. I don't know that that's sustainable, but it's certainly a way that that Florida State, it's something that Florida State wants to keep sustaining for sure. I do know that Golson started out last season without any real turnover, without any interceptions for the first, I think, six games, and then he had his rash of turnovers. But so far, this is what this offense is going to have to do. The defense is good enough to keep this team, I think, in games the rest of the season. The offense has a long way to go, but so far, this team is what we thought they were, I think more than likely goes into the Miami game undefeated, and we'll find out a lot more about this team when they play Miami, and we'll see if over the next few weeks, you've got Golson getting another bye week, then the Wake Forest game, and then another week of preparation. So that's three more weeks before this team plays another team that could potentially beat them. We'll see if those three more weeks really get Everett Golson more comfortable with this offense, and whether or not the offense starts to turn the corner with some of the youth. But through 3 weeks, this is basically what you would hope for if you're Jimbo Fisher. I know after the game, he commented after the recordings were over and everything. He said, you know, hey, this is what I'm happy with this. You know, you get a win and I can still be angry. I can still be mad. So, this is a good place, good way to go into the end of the bye week. If you are Jimbo Fisher and you're hoping to get a lot more out of this young team and out of a rebuilding season than you might otherwise, and this is why you have this kind of schedule at the beginning of the year. All right, that's going to do it for us today. And before we get out of here, just a reminder that you can follow me on the Twitter machine at Doc Staples. And, of course, Seminole Sports Radio at Seminoles Radio for the latest on FSU sports. And be sure to catch our next podcast where we're going to do a little bit more thorough review based on what I've seen after watching the video recordings of this game. But until then, I'm Jason Staples. This has been the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, a VSporto channel. Thanks for listening. I made this.